Deepak Chopra beautifully wrote, religion is believing in someone else's experience. Spirituality is having your own. I prefer a version which cuts to the chase. It's a little more blunt. Religion is for those who fear hell. Spirituality is for those who've been there. As a young child, I had a little girlfriend. Her name was Jency. We played every day and we talked all the time. My parents were concerned because they never met Jency or her friends. They didn't know a thing about her. My mother asked me, where does my little friend live? And I pointed to the attic. Jency lives up there in the eaves. Jency was my imaginary playmate. While I remember her name, I don't remember anything else. Frankly, I didn't think of Jency again until I began organizing this lecture. This morning's topic is how I finally recognized a supernatural presence in my life. More than likely, these indicators are universally applying to everyone. Our guides and angels are assigned to us. I call them my monk. In their eyes, each one of us is precious, a valuable creation. They surround every one of us and protect us like guards at Fort Knox. That's their job. There are three ways that I became aware of my monks at work. Coincidence, tipping point, and acting as if meditation really works. First, coincidence. Coincidence is angelic shorthand identifying the presence of your guides and teachers. When certain visual or auditory symbols appear repeatedly, you can be sure your guides are clamoring for your attention. In my case, my monks began making themselves known 25 years ago. They chose vehicle license plates to quietly reveal themselves. One December morning, I was driving to work, and I noticed the same number was on all the cars surrounding me. I thought it odd that the number 13 was everywhere. 13 is generally considered an unlucky number, and I felt uneasy. Meanwhile, that particular morning, I was working on a holiday trip planned for a friend to visit me in Portugal, where I worked in the embassy there. That same morning, I found a communication announcing that he changed his Christmas plans. He was flying to Missouri to see his parents. Cheerfully, he notified me he'd arrive in Lisbon sometime in mid-January. I was furious. I had a total fit. And my response made it crystal clear that he'd better come to Portugal for the holidays. Driving home that evening, I noticed there were 31s everywhere. The number reversed from this morning. It looked like a convention of 31s on the highway. Following business day, I found another communication from this fellow. He wrote to expect him in Lisbon in a couple days. Odd coincidence, perhaps meaningful. There just might be something to these numbers, I thought. Portuguese street signs are difficult to find. often, while driving somewhere, for the first time, I'd get lost, and I couldn't find any signs for directions. Invariably, the car would appear with a 31 on it. I'd follow that vehicle until it turned. Bingo. It was the correct road every time. Tipping point. The tipping point is that magic moment when an idea, friend, or social behavior crosses a threshold and spreads like wildfire. The tipping point is a precisely targeted push, creating a magical life. My tipping point arrived about a year after arriving in Saudi Arabia. By 1993, I had been working in the Middle East for at least a year and not happy at all about it. I had joined the Foreign Service to find a husband, and that certainly wasn't happening. This assignment was punishment. I knew it. In fact, I wanted to die. I asked for help, and someone directed me to a 12-step spiritual support group. I attended weekly meetings, and that relieved my agony. I read tons of books, and I tried out almost everything they suggested. After reading this book called It's Not What You're Eating, It's What's Eating You by Janet Greeson, I was inspired to try some of her recommendations. The author suggested writing out a question with my dominant hand and then write out the answer with my non-dominant hand. What the heck? Why not? I'm game for practically anything, especially if it's easy and it doesn't cost any money. Following the author's directions, I held the pen in my dominant right hand and I wrote out, "Why am I in Saudi Arabia?" Transferring the pen to my left hand wrote, "To find out who you are." Stopped, I dropped the pen. Some force controlled my left hand. Those words were never in my head. This message bypassed my conscious mind. Its message hit a target, bullseye. I zeroed into my purpose in this desolate desert. In his book, Man's Search for Meaning, Viktor Frankl wrote, "Suffering ceases to be suffering in the moment it finds meaning." This assignment in the Middle East finally made sense. God knew I needed to lose my familiar life, my activities, and relationships that I thought I needed. By God's grace, I crashed at bottom and found meaning. After that startling call to action, I devoted my remaining year in the kingdom discovering exactly who Susan was. From that moment, I quadrupled my weekly attendance in recovery meetings. Initially tried as a lark, this simple act was one whopping big wake-up call. The infinite intelligence had a plan for me. God does not enter the world of our nostalgic, silent night snow-covered, suspended reality of Christmas. God hides in our broken places, the secrets we're too ashamed to share. He slips in through our vulnerabilities, our flaws, our obsessive compulsive behaviors, and guilt. When we've exhausted our usual bag of tricks, when there's no place else to go, then and only then, God has our complete and undivided attention. Tragedy kicks down the walls of life. The crisis is when you can't say, let's just forget the whole thing. You never know how strong you are, how strong you really are, until strong is the only choice you have. The third way I became aware of my guides was by acting as if meditation really works. We're surrounded by guides and angels. Their job is to guide and protect us. As the Reverend John White used to always say, if you knew who walked beside you, it would blow your mind. I communicate daily with my monks through meditation and visualization. Recently, I purchased Doreen Virtue's daily guidance from your angels. From day one, I became increasingly aware of their presence. That day's reading instructed me to give my angelic guides any unmanageable and annoying people I know. It's timely, I thought. The woman who manages my mother's facility really annoys my mother. Visualize. As soon as I drifted into my meditative level, the magician's black prop heart appeared. My angel guides had someone else in mind. Amazed, I watched them stuff a difficult family member feet first into the hat. He resisted holding on to the brim, but those angels pried his little fingers loose and they pushed him in. Seems those angel guides really wanted to transform this family member. Clearly, my guides also wanted me to know that they were the ones intervening. They also asked for help in preparing this morning's presentation. I visualized each one of you in the congregation finding something in this lecture that makes a positive difference in the quality of your life. While I can't vouch for you guys, the writing process helped me by clarifying my thoughts. This morning I've talked about three things: coincidence, tipping point, asking as if meditation is real. There's no such thing as coincidence. Spirit communication often looks odd and appears in strange places. Tipping point. A magical moment when you stumble upon your life's purpose while looking for something else. Sometimes the turning point comes disguised as a crisis, sudden unexpected change, a lost relationship, loss of a job, death, illness, mental health crisis. Lastly, act as if meditation really works. Act as if there's an invisible force around you, ready and able, to help you solve your problems. When we meditate and visualize what you desire, the most surprising events begin to happen. Simply doing the next right thing to the next right thing, evolving into an enchanting life you never saw coming. All I did was ask for help and follow directions. I didn't believe in, nor did I chase after God or those angel guides. Those angels hunted my fanny down in the weirdest places. It was only when I was unable to cope and hit bottom did I ask for help. One foot in front of the other, one day at a time. As Black Elk said, continuous effort, not strength or intelligence. Continuous effort is the key to unlocking our potential. Lastly, Jim Rohn wrote, if you really want to do something, you'll find a way. If you don't, you'll find an excuse. We must all suffer one of two things, the pain of discipline or the pain of regret. Thank you for your attention this morning.